And this is all by developed women. By women.
It's a cultural experience. It is not something you find anywhere else. This mm-hmm. is like ours, our own. We haven't like copied it from anyone. It is endemic to us. You can say that. It's like genuinely our own culture and tradition and something we should celebrate and mm-hmm. sell to the world.
This episode is proudly brought to you by Mapper Forward's workshop, It's Time to Become a Coffee Consultant. Learn how to diversify your revenue streams and create freedom from your day job while saying goodbye to that alarm clock forever by becoming a consultant within the coffee industry or directly to consumers who have shifted towards home brewing and home roasting. Protect your income from challenging times in the coffee value chain by taking this course today. Go to mapperforward.coffee/workshops or click the link in the show notes for details.
Welcome to the Daily Coffee Pro by Mapper Forward, friends. I'm your host, Lee Safar, and this is episode 3 of a 5-part series where we are talking about the sustainability of coffee in Ethiopia. And joining me is Sara Yurka from Ya Coffee Roasting in Addis, Ethiopia. And Sara, in this episode, we're going to talk about the role of women in coffee in Ethiopia. Now, I know that women make up a huge majority of the stakeholders in coffee in Ethiopia. So tell us what role they play.
Hi, you're coming to a very, you know, interesting topic now. Women in coffee. Like every other producing country and as an agricultural sector, the contribution of women in coffee is significant. And for Ethiopia, also again, I'm referring to our small study that mm-hmm. was done this year and last year. We have, to be exact, about 65% of the work in coffee done by women. But mm-hmm. in some areas in the supply value chain, it goes up to 90% mm. where it is harvesting mainly because we are quality oriented. We're so, you know, our mind is sharp. We don't miss you. If I tell you, let's say sorting, harvesting related activities, I am a coffee roaster and now in my roastery, all the quality control team is built by women. Everyone in the team, you can blind them. And they can pick the defect. Honestly speaking, they can pick the defects just like that. They know by with experience with working on coffee for some time now, they are experts. So the contribution of women, we cannot just talk about the numbers. What does it mean? Let me take you back to history because mm-hmm. that really matters. Mm-hmm. Our mothers, grandmothers, and mothers, thousands of years of mothers, were making coffee in different rituals. Like it could be coffee soaked in butter, coffee cherry soaked in butter, roasted. That is one way of consuming coffee as an energy.
Wait, stop.
Food.
Stop, 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 stop.
Yes.
What did you just say?
I'm telling you.
I've never heard of
coffee, the cherries roasted and soaked in butter. It's called Bunek Ella.
That's that sounds an energy amazing.
Bar. Yes, you should try that. You should come to Ethiopia. I will take you to one of those places. Then if you go to the eastern part, to Harar in the western mm-hmm. Harargay region, Kuti, the coffee leaf mm-hmm. is boiled with milk. And I can't tell you how like tasty it is.
Really?
Yes. You can make tea. You can make milk drink out of the leaf, roasted leaf. Just roast the leaf and boil it in milk. Or you can make tea out of that. If you go to, let's say, the northern part, coffee is like a ritual, a religious ritual. You just sit. Have your incense. You smoke your incense. You make popcorn. You make Eritrea and Tigray areas and the northern part of the country. Uh-huh. You can spend hours sitting around coffee because it is kind of a ritual. You just sit there. And the Jabana, the clay pot we make coffee with, is different in different parts of the country. If you go to now the Central South region, the Guragi culture, they make coffee in one pot that has two outlets. So one pours coffee only in the other pours butter. I don't know how they do it. Don't ask me how they
do it. It's woo-woo magic.
We drink coffee with butter. I can tell you like many stories like that. Uh-huh. This was done at home by mothers, by women. Mm. Growing up, I never enjoyed making coffee, I have to be honest. But my sister was good at it. She just picks at how our neighbors do it, and she comes back and performs the same, you know. And so, mm-hmm. Well, she was a coffee favorite in the family. But saying that, in addition to the fact that coffee is a lifestyle in Ethiopia, coffee is not just a commodity. We haven't taken full advantage of the tourism aspect of it. You know, we run around the world to find buyers for a green coffee, whereas we can bring the world to Ethiopia to enjoy this experience. For one, I can bring you to Jimma and you can have the experience of your lifetime enjoying the coffee soaked in butter.
Right.
And
this is all developed by women.
That back home.
And this is all by developed women. By women.
The cultural experience, it is not something you find anywhere else. This mm-hmm. is like ours, our own. We haven't like copied it from anyone. It is endemic to us. You can say that. It's like genuinely our own culture and tradition and something we should celebrate and mm-hmm. sell to the world. But we're not doing that.
No.
If coffee becomes a center of attraction for tourism. Center of attraction. Still is, because people, I don't know anyone who doesn't enjoy our traditional ceremony. Any foreigner, you just bring them to any coffee place where there is a traditional setup. When they see coffee roasted manually, and then they see us grind it manually, like it's mind-blowing. Mm-hmm. We are not taking advantage of that. I can say this.
Okay.
If we work strategically towards, you know, changing how we treat coffee, mm-hmm. There is a lot to send to the world. And women are at the center of it. So that they will become financially empowered. They will become relevant. If we start considering coffee as a wholesome product, not only something we just, you know, harvest and export, but something that could, you know, improve the livelihoods of those that are in this value chain. Women, their families, exporters, roasters. It could bring much more value as a lifestyle than a commodity. So the role of women there is critical.
And that's what it is about, right? Like empowering people to be sustainable in their own right. Like we want the industry to be sustainable, but the industry gets sustainable when individuals feel psychologically safe and physically safe that the work that they're doing is creating security for them, long-term security for them. And, you know, it's funny, Fabrizio, again, talking about our last series with Fabrizio Andrade, and he said, look, Lee, these people who want to hand money out to producers, it doesn't work. Giving producers money, it's not going to work. They want to work. They want to do the physical work. They want to do they want to build something that they can lean on themselves. They're not interested in a handout.
Absolutely. For a long term. Yeah. Yeah. Cash is short term. You can hand them cash this year. Can you do it again next year? Because there is a whole year between harvest, selling coffee, and then harvest again. So how are they going to sustain? So, cash is not going to do the work.
So when it comes to women and the role that they're playing in the supply chain, right? And women are playing in coffee. You mentioned in the last episode that women, when we get higher up in the further and further we get away from the farm, the less and less women that you have involved in the influential positions.
Yes.
What do we need for this to change?
Again, start from ground up, because we cannot address things here at the top and then think or be satisfied with the result of having like 2 or 3 women exporters on the global platform, because Ethiopia is too big. We are 120 million and 5 million of them are coffee producers. And if we say, let's say 50% of this is women, only the I'm talking about the producers. We can say coffee is supporting about 20, 30 million of the population directly or indirectly. So we need to start from the bottom. Like the bottom is where the resources are, where coffee is, where we can make a big impact. Because you can become a millionaire. I know, like I was giving you a reference the other day. I can have a 70 square meter land with no building in Addis and I will be automatically credit worthy.
Right.
But a woman that has 2 hectares, 3 hectares of coffee farm is not credit worthy. Wow. What does that show you? Okay. So the work should start from there. From the producing communities. Starting from, I love the fact that we're still maintaining our traditional skills, like the natural coffee processing, that which we gave to the world. That is where our specialty is. If we improve productivity, quality at that level, if we support, a little investment goes a long way. I have seen it myself, engaging with women producers and their families. Addressing their specific questions like, okay, we need a training on, you know, if we knew, we wouldn't do this. If we knew this, you know, we could have done a better, you know, people don't, you know, don't do mistakes when they know it is going to cost them.
And if somebody teaches them how to not make those mistakes and gives them alternative tools.
Absolutely.
Right.
Exactly. So, if we say majority of especially the work in quality assurance is done by women, we have to invest there.
Yeah.
In skills, information, if they want to do, let's say, direct export, support, and the infrastructure from government stakeholders, from anyone that is involved in the coffee sector, the infrastructure should really accommodate producers that really want to do direct export. So far, we don't have that. That's why they are not forced, but they should supply. They should bring their coffee to suppliers because there is no infrastructure to support them. There is, let's take internet, for instance. If they have an educated son who wants to write to a buyer, my mom produces this coffee in this plot of land. With this, you know? And we are a family of 10, and we depend, our life depends on this coffee. That's the story, yeah?
Right.
That's the story that's going to honestly capture some buyer somewhere else. But there is no access. There is no also know-how of how to do this. And the connection or the market linkage for them. So those support mechanisms should be available around them, so that they can at least consider having to export directly, one, if the market happens, but also invest heavily on that level with women that are working from seedling production. The quality of the seedling determines the quality of the coffee tree, that determines the quality of cherry we harvest, that determines, you know, the yield and what we gain from that yield. So I say all any investment that sidelines women is not going to help or bring sustainability in coffee.
But if we can find a way of investing in their knowledge and empower them, that will improve their sustainability. But that's what, from what I hear you saying, that's what women want and need in coffee.
Yes.
Teach me is basically what they're saying. Teach me and empower me, or help me get empowered.
That's what we exactly. What happened is, let me give you a good example. A month and a half or 2 ago, we were in the southern part of the country giving post-harvest training and cupping training to 73 women surrounding the Dilla University area, like from Irga Jaffe, from Sidama, from even Oromia, Guji, and from Dilla area. Those 73 women, the first thing they said is, you know, this is the first time we had to meet women from other producing localities. And we thought this is only a problem in our area, and they have the same problem. She was telling me about her problem, and I have the same problem. Now we know how to, you know, it just opens your eyes.
Yeah.
Just giving them that platform to have this conversation. Yeah. Oh, did you face this kind of problem in your area? Oh, yes, that was my problem. And so we talked about it. Like, I just, between the trainings, the theory that the Dilla University professionals were giving them, the post-harvest technical training in terms of theory. So I was there, like, just giving them a break. Okay, now let's talk about life. You know, just talk about, just talk about maternal health. Do you talk about, you know, sanitation, hygiene?
Yeah.
Do you talk about finances? What do you talk about finances? How do you manage savings? Do you want digital finance or digital finance to be a thing in your area? We just take a break and talk about those issues, but just in an informal way. And they were so excited.
Wow.
And they were saying, this is to just take time to come here, because we were very close to everyone's residence, farm. There is a bus that picks them up and drops them off at the end of the day. So they spend their night at home. That was another, like, eye-opening
experience
for me, because if you go, they're open. And this is what they made me promise. I told them, okay, if you share what you learned here with me, with the post-harvest trainers, with the cupping, and how defects happen, and why you sell your coffee at Champ Change, if you share this to one woman in your neighborhood, that means you will be 144. Yes? Yeah. And then the two of you, if you share it to another woman, you will be like 200 something.
Yeah.
Then I will come next harvest season. I will come to your locality. I can sleep over at one house today, sleep over at another. I don't have to pay for hotel or food.
Yep.
You will cook me some food. And they were so excited. You'll make me, I was like, you'll make me coffee. Of course. So promise you share this knowledge and experience with another woman.
That's how we empower women.
At harvest season and do on the field, like on-site experience. And that's how we can grow as a community. And that's how we can, you know, that's the ripple effect. You talk to one woman, she talks to another. And they, you know, they create this kind of bondage. And it just gave me joy. That was like
maybe
the happiest I have been.
Oh, I love that. And we are recording this on International Women's Day. And I think it's wonderful that you spend so much of your time empowering other women. Gone are the days where we see women fighting over the same position. I think that women are less competitive with each other and more open to working together and sharing knowledge, because we have more access to opportunities. We still have a long way to go, but I'm very encouraged by the future. And I think when we can empower women, we empower a country, which is really exciting. Yeah. Now, in the next episode, we're going to talk about the challenges of doing business in Ethiopia. And this is going to be a really interesting conversation because there are some challenges. challenge presents the opportunity for new learning. So join us in the next episode, folks. Peace, love and peanut butter. Have an amazing rest of your day.
I really hope you enjoyed this episode, friends. Please don't forget to show us some love by subscribing, liking, commenting, and most of all, sharing this podcast with your friends. Check the show notes for links, including our sponsors and our Patreon. And stay tuned for more great conversations on The Daily Coffee Pro by Mapper Forward.